And welcome to minute 64 of season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we fubar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again is Eddie Eath from the AP Fanboy Youth, from the AP Fanboy YouTube channel. Welcome back to the show, Eddie.
Yay, it's Eddie Eath. That's okay.
I said Eath? Eath.
Yes. Yeah. It's okay. It happens.
Sorry about that. I should have figured that out. It's Eath. Yeah.
But I'm happy to be here. Happy Thursday.
I'm happy to have you back, too. Mm-hmm. Much appreciated. I'm glad you were able to join us for another episode this week. Okay, so minute 64 begins with the men discussing the issue at hand and ends with Miller giving Hamill an update. So yesterday we basically ended with the fact that, you know, they basically just ended James Frederick Ryan's life. because he's going to be completely off balance the rest of the time that he's going to be on active duty. Mm-hmm. Always being concerned about his brothers who are in grammar school as to how will they make it.
But we'll figure that out later. Now we've got to find James Francis Ryan.
That's right. James Francis Ryan. From Iowa.
From Iowa.
Not from Minnesota. There you go.
Nope.
So, you know, they were saying, well, wasn't there a guy from the, you know, that might have known who we're talking about? You mean the guy from, they basically asked what unit Ryan was from. So they said he's from Baker Company. And they said, wait a second, there's that guy from the 506 with the broken foot. He's also the 506, isn't he? So I like the connection, the way that they do this here. You know, because anyone who is familiar with what happened on D-Day with, you know, the 506th and with the entire 101st Airborne, they were scattered all over the place because they didn't get what they were expecting. I mean, you are familiar with Band of Brothers, right?
Yes.
Right, so yes. Band of Brothers depicts that very well. And so basically the 506th is the paratrooper infantry regiment. And then they became known as the Airborne Infantry Regiment. So the 506th was actually active. It's very strange if you look at the dates of when it was active, because it was active from 42 to 45. 48 to 49, 50 to 53, 56 to 84. And then it was, you know, reinstated in 87 and goes all the way till now. The nickname is, let's see how good you are with stuff from Band of Brothers. What is the nickname of the 506th?
506th. I'm not going to get this because it's...
It is the name of the first episode. Yeah. Of Band of Brothers. Does okay. that help you at all?
Is it Easy Company?
No, it's Currahee.
Currahee, okay.
Which is the name of the you know, the mountain that they had to run up.
I haven't seen that since it aired.
All right, I'm afraid we're okay. We're done with today's episode. Eddie, come on, I'm very disappointed. I know you're looking for superheroes. You know, there's
yeah,
no.
Yeah, no, I enjoy it. I remember finally my father actually brought the DVDs of Band of Brothers with him to Kuwait and loaned it to one of his fellow officers and never got it back. So
interesting.
So that's really my context for Band of Brothers. I remember.
Your excuse of not rewatching Band of Brothers in the last 24 years is because your father's DVD collection was stolen by one of his fellow officers in Iraq. Okay.
Yeah, something like
Good
that.
excuse. Good excuse. All right. We'll leave it at that.
Okay.
If you ever get a chance, you should rewatch it. That's what I think. I mean, it's a great companion piece for this movie. No question about that. It gives you a lot about what's going on. Right. So the idea is that they got scattered all over the place, and even if you watch The Longest Day, you see that. You see how a lot of the paratroopers just ended up in completely different places than they were expecting to find themselves in. And at this point, Hill confirms and goes, "Yeah, Charlie, I think." So, hey, Baker, Charlie, what's the difference? Not that different, right? And then he goes, "You think?" And he goes, "Yeah." And then the scene changes, and we see a guy on the ground being tended to by I guess a medic. And this medic actually has a symbol on his helmet. Did you notice what symbol he has on his helmet?
I'm looking. It's the Red Cross, and oh, and there's a white spade.
That's right. He has a spade on it, which is very interesting. So, what do you know about the symbol of spade?
Apart from playing cards, not much.
Okay. So apparently it's in the French playing cards that it was used, but in German playing cards they actually use a leaf instead.
Okay.
But what it basically is it's an upside down heart that has like a stalk in the base that looks like it's supposed to symbolize either a pike or a halberd, which are medieval weapons.
I was going to say, I thought it was a type of shovel.
That too.
Okay.
In the game of bridge, spade is the highest suit. And the word spade apparently comes from the Spanish word espada, which means sword.
Okay.
And the spade is a symbol of a spearhead shape pointing upwards, and the bottom that widens into two arcs of a circle and sweeps towards the center in order for them to form like a type of foot. In most games, a spade is black. And it's usually paired together with the suit of clubs. And in the th there's a game called Scat, which has green spades in them. So I'm not familiar with that game, so I couldn't really tell you what the significance of that is.
Okay.
Right, so we were having this conversation, and this wounded guy is just looking up, giving a little bit of information, doesn't really know much, and he goes, "Ryan, don't know." And then he screams out, "Man!" And then Miller asks him, "Where was your drop zone?" He goes, "Just inside of Veerville." He goes, "Veerville? How the hell did you end up all the way up here?" "Got me, sir. C-47 took a heavy fire. Pilot went crazy. Trying to get out of there, turning every which way. Took more fire on the drop. Got messy. I ended up here. I haven't seen a single guy from my stick, sir. God knows where they are." So, do you know what the phrase "stick" means in military terms?
Oh, I'm guessing this is an accurate. Is
No,
this an
not at all.
acronym?
No.
Oh, okay. I mean, I would just say it's another word for unit or squad or.
And you would be correct. I always depicted
Okay.
this that his stick was the name of the plane, or not the name of the plane. That the term stick refers to a plane, but apparently it doesn't. It's
Okay.
a group of jumpers. So before they get ready to jump out of a plane, that you know who the person is that you're standing next to in a plane, and what your jumper number is, and which door you're supposed to jump out of, and things like that.
Okay. So it's the other guys holding on to the stick with you before you jump out.
That type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So I like that explanation about how that fits in there, and you know they're giving us a brief overview of the chaos in the sky that these men endured on D-Day. And you know Miller, we see on Miller's face that he's trying to figure out a way of getting some sort of clue to help them move along and stuff like that. He goes, well, was there anybody in Baker Company that had like a big mouth? They talk about where the drop zone might have been. Now, it's funny that he asks it this way because, you know, as we've just established, it doesn't matter where your drop zone was. Nobody made it to the drop zone. And he goes, no, sir, but I know Baker Company had the same rally point as we do. And he goes, okay, show me. And he moves the map towards him for him to mark it off on the map. And it shows a lot of Miller's thinking, you know, that you know, he partially has to play a detective here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to find what do you call him? A toothpick in a pile of toothpicks. Oh, I'm trying to remember what Horvath called him something. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the actual phrase was. It's a great way of depicting, you know, what it is that they're trying to do here. I mean, this is not a simple task at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's you know, how do you find somebody, you know, who there's just no way of figuring out how you're going to find this person, you know, because and again, as we've established this week, that name is not so unique. there are at least two Jimmy Ryans in there.
So I guess we're moving on to the rally point, or at least trying to find it.
Ah, okay. I know what he says. I know what he said. Now I found the quote. He says, like finding a needle in the stack of needles.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Yeah, needle in a haystack is the phrase.
Exactly. I don't know why I was thinking it was a toothpick. But yeah, right. Trying to find a needle in a stack of needles, which it perfectly depicts what they have to do here. Because think about the number of American soldiers that were in Normandy at that time and having to go through all of them just to find this one guy. And hoping to find even a clue of someone who knows someone, you know, just to find out where the rally point is also helpful. But you'd think they would have given some of this information to Miller before he left.
They might not have it.
You know, they might have given the rally point. I'm assuming that when he was meeting with the colonel, you know, he would have been able to tell him, say, look, you know, the rally point is at this and this place, you know, even if you can't find him in Newville, you know, that type of thing. So I don't know. Right. So he basically hands the map and has this guy from Baker, you know, tell them where they potentially are supposed to be. Now, do you have any idea who this actor is who plays this character?
What's the name? No.
No, they don't give us the name. That's the whole thing.
No, I mean what's the actor's name? I
Oh,
yeah, I'm not recognizing him.
I wasn't able to find it either. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, okay.
If you
No.
Because he's not mentioned here as anything. That's my point. You know, I mean, he does have a speaking part, so he must be listed here. It must be listed on IMDb at some point. But there's no way of knowing, you know, who specifically is, because they say that guy from Bravo Company, and doesn't like say to us, this isn't airplane territory where they say, or Naked Gun, where they say, this is the quote that the guy said, and there's his, that now we know who that is. No, I've no idea. I wasn't able to figure it out, which again is why I asked that.
Yeah,
maybe
no,
you know,
I know.
Maybe you
I don't. That's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't able to figure it out. I mean, I love how Nathan Fillion is credited here. He's credited as Minnesota Ryan.
Yes. Yes. Clever.
So who knows? Maybe it is. Maybe he's listed here. If anyone knows who this actor is and who the character is supposed to be, feel free to let us know. And at this point, Miller feels that he's gotten enough information that he can from this guy. There isn't really much else for him to tell besides giving us, the information about, about where potentially the rally point was.
Okay.
But I like the fact that while this guy is being tended to, we see other wounded men around. This is like a small little place for them to recuperate a little bit. I mean, we even see Hill standing there against the wall, also somewhat relaxing, I guess you can say, waiting to find out, what his next move is also.
Yes.
Nothing like seeing Paul Giamatti just, standing there doing nothing, but still being prominently in the picture. So, and again, this goes back to someone who was not very predominant at the time. Back at this point, most people probably weren't able to recognize him and say, "Hey, that's Paul Giamatti." Another person who probably had his career moved up because of this small little part that he got in this movie.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like maybe he'd done The Negotiator by then, but that's probably about it. Yeah.
Negotiator?
I think it's the same year, yeah.
And their characters are very different. Very, very, very different. Mm-hmm. And then at this point we get once again we're back, I guess, outside, I guess you can sort of say. And Miller and Hamill are finally having another heart to heart as they're walking. We can once again see all the death and destruction around them, about how much damage taken from the bombardments, and we don't know from which side, but we see like the broken glass in the car and stuff like that. So, it really shows us that a lot has gone on here. And as they're walking, they're continuing their conversation, and basically Miller says to him, "My men are beat. We're gonna hold up here for about 3 hours. We'll pull out after dark. Got anything left in this town, like a 3-star hotel? Something with clean sheets and soft pillows and room service. How about a nice comfy church? We'll take it." And then at this point, we have Hamill turn to him and goes, "Well, what have you heard? How's it all falling together?" And so I like the fact that he's asking Miller for more information. He's been dropped in the middle of nowhere. And, he took the city, he took town, but he doesn't know the how all the other pieces are coming together. And I like that. I like the way that they're showing his curiosity.
Yeah. Whole, yeah.
Because obviously it makes sense.
And also just kind of the sense, it's not like we can watch the bombs dropping on CNN. You had your orders.
No.
And you really didn't know what else was going on in the theater. So, so news from anybody, what did you heard? You're trying to get any scrap of news from wherever you can, out.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. And it's great watching how that plays out, from mm-hmm. that perspective. And I mean, Miller's response is he doesn't have much to say. He says, "Well, we got the beachhead secure. Problem is," and then he gets cut off. So people are going to have to wait until tomorrow to find out what the problem
All
is.
Right.
But I want to backtrack a little bit. You know, we were talking about trying to find a 3-star hotel.
Yes.
Okay. So do you know the differentiations between the different star levels of hotels? Like, what does it mean?
You're talking about the Michelin guidebook? Yeah.
Yes.
So, well, I mean, this applies more to restaurants, but I guess the.
No, you have restaurants, but you
Mm-hmm.
have hotels
Because
also.
I know for restaurants, the Michelin guide basically is one star means it's worth it if you're in the area. Two star means it's worth a side trip, and three star means it's worth the trip to go.
Okay, so I mean, when it comes to hotels, it's different because you have a 5-star
Okay.
system. So one star means that this is tourist level. Second star, 2 stars means standard level. 3 stars is comfort level. 4 stars is first class, and 5 stars is luxury.
Okay.
Okay, but it goes even deeper if you want to look at it, because you can find out what do you have in all of these different levels. Okay, and they so you have a tourist level has to have a mandatory criteria of reception service, cashless payment, extended breakfast, beverage offer in the hotel, deposit possibility. 100% of the rooms must have showers, bathrooms, and a or a bathtub. You have daily room cleaning. The 100% of the rooms have to have a color TV with a remote control. Nowadays, that includes Wi-Fi access in the rooms in the public areas. Table and chair, soap or body wash, bath towels, and they offer sanitary products, so toothbrush, toothpaste, shaving kit, things like that.
Gotcha. Okay.
Then you have the standard level. So in addition to what we just mentioned before, you have a bilingual staff. Breakfast buffet, reading light next to the bed, bath essentials or shower gel, bath and hand towels, linen shelves, offer of a sewing kit or shoe polish utensils. Then you have a comfort level, which is 3 stars. So you have reception, which is open at least 10 hours and is accessible by phone or digital communication for the rest of the day from inside or outside the hotel itself. They have 3-piece lounge suite at the reception and luggage service. They have beverage offers in the room, audio or multimedia entertainment system, heating facilities in the bathroom, including a hair dryer or a cleansing tissue. They have a mirror on the dresser. You put your luggage in suitcase. You will have a sewing kit, shoe polish, utensils, laundry, and ironing services. The ability to get another pillow or an additional blanket, and you have a systematic complaint management system. Okay, so that's what they're
Okay.
going for right now with this 3-star. So a 4-star hotel has reception that's open at least 16 hours a day, still available by phone 24 hours a day. Lobby with seats and beverage service, breakfast buffet or breakfast menu. Via room service, mini bar, upholstered chairs and couches with a side table, a bathrobe and slippers on demand, cosmetic products, vanity mirror, tray of a large scale in the bathroom, and TV that has international channels available. And then they
Wow.
have obviously reception 24 hours a day, doorman service or valet parking, a concierge. Shuttle service, limousine service type of thing, luggage service, personalized greeting for each guest with fresh flowers or a present in the room, mini bar and food and beverage offer via room service 24 hours a day, internet device in the room, a safe in the room, ironing service within 1 hour, and a shoe polishing service, and they have turn down service in the evenings. So again, I don't know how much of this is really relevant today, because a lot of these things, you go to a motel and you're gonna get most of these type of services also. It's rare that you're gonna find a place that doesn't have 24 hours someone at the reception desk or anything like that. But whatever, it's still fun to look at the list.
Of course, if you want to find out what you'd need for a 6-star, you need to check the instant checks
That's
in.
true. There you go. That's right. And one of the things I like about this conversation between Miller and Hamill is the two of them basically have reached a point where they're able to have a conversation that is, on their own level, because they're both captain, they're both ranked as captain, so they sort of, they're starting to sort of gripe about about the high command and everything that's been going on. And it's something you can only do when you're on the same level type of thing. So I like that little added, touch to the whole thing. And that's all I have to say about this minute. Did you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
No, I think we've been very
Okay,
thorough.
so now we get Thursday segment, which I know you've been waiting for all week. So Thursday
Ooh,
segment is
okay.
called the Say What Thursday. Say what? Say what again? And the idea here is that this movie has so many different actors. We've talked about this week and throughout the last 64 episodes also, that there are so many different recognizable actors in this movie. So what I decided to do is I'm gonna test my guests' knowledge of other movies that feature these same actors. Okay, so but again,
Okay.
it would be too vast if I were to tell you, if I wouldn't, if I were to say it could be any actor from the movie. So for your game today, it's one of three different actors. It could either be something that was said by Giovanni Ribisi, something that was said by Paul Giamatti, or Matt Damon. Okay, could be any of the three of them.
Okay.
It
Okay.
could be just one of them all the whole week, the all five. You never know. There's no guarantee that I'm going to use all three of them. So, okay. So what I'm going to
Okay.
do is I'm going to give you the name of the, I'm going to give you the quote and the year that the quote came out. And you'll have to tell me who the actor
Great.
is and what movie this line is from.
Oh, guess the actor and the
Yes.
movie.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
All
So we'll
right.
start with the first one from 1997. Okay. And the quote is, "What's the difference between a lawyer and a hooker? A hooker will stop screwing you after you're dead." And I can give you lifelines if that's what you if you like.
Lawyer will stop screwing you after you're dead. Is that
1997, and it could be.
1997? Is that Paul Giamatti?
No, it is not.
Okay. So that it's probably Matt Damon.
It is Matt Damon, yes. So
It is Matt Damon.
what movie does Matt Damon say this quote in 1997?
Good Will Hunting?
Nope. And
Nope.
isn't Good Will Hunting in 96? No, it's 97 also. You're right.
N
It
Good
is
Will Hunting's
97.
97.
Yeah, it's also 97, but no, that is not from that.
Okay, so then I'm gonna guess Chasing Amy.
You would
Because
be
I
once again wrong.
well, okay, because I'm trying to think of like what else he was doing, and then I know
He
he has a
has a
bit part.
third. He has a third movie where he is the lead character in that movie from 1997.
Oh, The Rainmaker.
Exactly. Very good.
The Rainmaker. Okay.
Very, very good. All right. Nicely done. Nicely
Lawyers. That should have been the clue. Okay.
done.
I see.
Very true. Okay, next one from 2004. Half my life is over, and I have nothing to show for it. Nothing. I'm a thumbprint on the window of a skyscraper. I'm a smudge of excrement on a tissue surging out to sea with 1 million tons of raw sewage.
That is Paul Giamatti in Sideways.
Yes, it is. Very good.
Is brilliant. Scrum of excrement. Where'd you come up with that? I didn't. I think it's Bukowski.
All right, the next one, from 2000. All right, I have a very strong work ethic. The problem was my ethics and work.
I have a very strong work ethic. The problem is my ethics at work. Is that Matt Damon in Rounders?
No, it is not.
Okay.
Didn't Rounders come out in 98?
No, okay. Then it would have been Giovanni Ribisi in Boiler Room?
Yes, it would. Very
yes,
good.
Yes, okay.
All right.
Okay. Yeah,
all
I
right.
can hear the score right now in my head.
There you go. All right. So the next one is also from 2000. Okay. And the quote is, "It's strange to think how that knock changed everything. Everything. Hey, don't get me wrong here. I don't believe in faith. I believe in odds."
Okay, that's Matt Damon in Ocean's 11.
No, it is not.
No, okay.
Ocean's 11, I know, came out in 2001, so it's for sure not it, because this is 2000.
Okay. Then I don't know.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
You're going to give up that
I
easily?
Believe in odds. I know. Oh, come on. I know that line.
It's strange to think how that knock changed everything. Everything. Hey, don't get me wrong here. I don't believe in fate. I believe in odds.
Is that Boiler Room again?
Yes, it is.
You, yeah, oh, come on. That's not fair.
Of course it's fair. When I'm going up against the heavyweight like you, I keep it fair. I keep it fair, but, you know, I can't make it simple. I can't make it that easy. All right. And the final one from 2023. I guess I thought I could make a difference. I mean, I used to think I could prepare them for the world a little, provide standards and grounding and grounding like Dr. Green always drilled into us. But the world doesn't make sense anymore. I mean, it's on fire. The rich don't give a poor kids are cannon fodder. Integrity is a punchline. Trust is just a name on a bank.
2023.
Could be Matt Damon, Paul Giamatti, or Giovanni Ribisi. You want the quote again?
Just it was a long quote.
Do you want me to get started again?
Give it to me one more time.
I guess I thought I could make a difference. I mean, I used to think I could prepare them for the world even a little, provide standards and grounding like Dr. Green always drilled into us. But the world doesn't make sense anymore. I mean, it's on fire. The rich don't give a poor kids are cannon fodder. Integrity is a punchline. Trust is just a name on the bank.
Is that Paul Giamatti and the Holdovers?
Yes, it is. Very, okay. Very good. All right. You see, you did well. I don't know why you were worried that you wouldn't do well. You did very well.
All right.
Nicely done, Eddie.
Thank you.
All right. Would you like to once again tell everyone where they can find you?
Absolutely. So you could find me on X at Eddie Eith. That's EDDIEEITH. And on YouTube at AP Fanboy, which stands for Aspiring Pro Fanboy, where I give movie trailer reactions and different musings on things going on in movies and TV fandom. I've been watching movies and TV my entire life. I think it's about time I got paid for it.
All right. Sounds great. Finding me is very simple. You can do a quick search for Movie Route Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movieroutminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So we're actually going to switch things up a little bit. Eddie will not be with us tomorrow. He will be back next Friday. I have a very special guest who requested to be on tomorrow's show. So he will be with us from tomorrow through next Thursday. And then Eddie will be back with us next Friday. So until tomorrow, for me at least, and for all of you, and for Eddie, till next Friday, earn this.
Earn it. In my solitude.